gang, it is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Bridget and Holly, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You guys, I was sitting, I think it was like the other week, and I was like, I need a girls' girl episode. I just need to like talk to girls that get it. And I immediately thought of the two of you, and I'm like, you guys have to come on, so thank you for being here.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So first of all, it's crazy, Holly, because I have a lot of new listeners, and I'm thinking back to when we recorded our first episode together. There may be some people that like haven't heard it, so guys, if you haven't listened, go listen, because it was amazing. But how long ago was that?
It was like 2 years ago. And it was the first interview I'd done in like 5 years, because I was totally anti doing PR, but I was a fan of your show and I thought, well, this will be fun. And then you inspired me to start my own podcast. You're totally my inspo, because I had so much fun on that one.
Aww.
It was such a good experience. And like, I agree. I think we were like, oh my God, let's have a convo. We were like getting so deep. We were both like emotional. We were like, fuck, that was amazing. So thank you for getting so deep with me on that. And anyone, again, go watch it because it's incredible. But now I have you two lovely ladies here, and I want to kind of like, maybe people that are new, can you explain, Holly, like, how do you guys know each other? How are you guys friends? How did you guys meet?
Well, we were living together at the Playboy Mansion for like 7 years, and we were on a show, a reality show called The Girls Next Door, that was on from like 2005 to 2009, and that's how we know each other. So it was complicated.
Yes. To people that maybe are listening that are like, I don't even know what the Playboy Mansion is, I don't understand any of this, please, can you kind of like explain what the Playboy Mansion was like during that time?
The Playboy Mansion was the place to be at that time. In the early 2000s, everybody wanted to be there. Every celebrity, every girl that I knew of wanted to be a part of it, wanted to be a playmate, wanted to go to the parties. They had the best parties in the world there. Oh, it was just the place that you wanted to go. You wanted to be seen, and you wanted to be a part of that whole lifestyle.
Yeah. It's like a fairy tale, it looks like, from the outside with all these beautiful women. So it's like, what girl wouldn't want to just like pop in and get like a living space to be around all these people? When you talk about these parties, like, can you, like, who was the most famous person you ever saw at a party? Like, give some context, like, the caliber of people that were at these places.
Well, at the time, it was like the biggest movie stars, like Leonardo DiCaprio and Jim Carrey and Cameron Diaz and people like that.
George Clooney.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, like, nobody had like smartphones back then, and you were not allowed to bring cameras in. If you got caught with a camera, you'd be immediately kicked out. So people felt comfortable going there and partying. And like, Hef had his personal cameras there and personal videographers, but people felt comfortable that they weren't going to be exposed. So big celebrities felt comfortable going, and you would just see all kinds of people there.
I don't think anyone ever in generations moving forward will ever experience that type of like anonymity when they walk into a room at a party.
No.
Like the concept, and I can imagine like, it maybe was more freeing for a lot of people to know, like, you're not going to, I literally wake up the next day sometimes after parties and I see like I'm tagged in a video and I'm like, oh my God, like I smile like that, like, or I'm like breathing that way. Like what's, you can wake up and in that kind of world, it's just so different to think back, like not having cameras. Like, were you guys at parties? Did you feel that same way? Like very free, or were you still stressed because you were kind of working in a way?
Well, when I was just a guest there, it felt very free and like you were kind of a fly on the wall and just watching everybody. But once we moved in and we're Hef's girlfriends, you were kind of required to sit at the table the whole time unless you had to like run to go to the bathroom. And you could get up and dance a little bit, but you were kind of like greeting everybody that came to say hi to him. So it wasn't like, we definitely didn't feel free, I don't think.
No,
like, we had to get trashed, but right.
We had to stay within eyeshot of Hef and the area. Like, we couldn't just go walking around and be like, let's go check this out, let's go enjoy this party.
Also, like, I wonder, like, did you guys ever want to not get too drunk? Because like, then would you like do something that you would be like in the morning like, oh, am I gonna get in trouble? Like, did you guys ever have to watch yourselves? Because I'm sure people are doing drugs and drinking and all the things. Like, what was that dynamic?
I got wasted all the time. But I feel like for me too, it was part of like a way to disassociate a little bit, just because a lot of the things that were going on at the house I wasn't really comfortable with, and that was just kind of like my escape. But I was trashed all the time.
You're like, I was hammered actually, yeah, Alex. Totally. So thank you. Absolutely not was I ever sober. Obviously, back then, like, there was such a beauty standard, I think, that was like very specific to the mansion and the Playboy world. Can you guys talk about that, and like, what were you expected to look like?
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Daddy gang, I get that there are some things you don't want to share, but bottling everything up inside can truly have some awful consequences. I remember growing up, I guess honestly, the truth is I was getting bullied and I was like so embarrassed to tell my family that because at home I was fine, but at school it was tough for me. And I just remember feeling so awful about myself and I kept it to myself and I dealt with it by myself. And it literally just caused truly maybe like a decade of trauma. And later in life, now that I've processed it, I'm like, damn, I would have been so much better off if I had just talked to someone about it. And it didn't even have to be my parents. Talking helps a lot. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I have had such an incredible relationship and experience with therapy. I was so ready to get better and to better myself and to understand myself more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible. It's easy to get started. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists whenever you need to for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/daddy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/daddy. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. Do you ever find yourself looking at your full wardrobe, but still feeling like you got nothing to wear? Well, gather around, Daddy Gang. Saks.com. You're going to find instant inspiration for that date night, for that impromptu vacation, okay? Maybe you need a new dress because one of your friends is getting married soon, okay? So if you're looking for a new style or want to build a better relationship with your closet, then head to Saks.com to shop for everything on your agenda.
There was such a beauty standard, I think, that was like very specific to the mansion and the Playboy world. Mm-hmm. Can you guys talk about that? And like, what were you expected to look like?
Well, I think the most harmful thing was just the thinness, because like eating disorders were really rampant. Like there was a lot of bulimia at the mansion, to the point where people would end up in the hospital sometimes, to the point where like bathroom pipes had to be replaced, mm-hmm. which I didn't believe that rumor for a while because I was like, no, that's too over the top. You don't have to replace a bathroom pipe because of somebody's stomach acid. But then somebody confirmed that that was true.
Did you guys both experience problems with like and struggles with eating?
I've never had like really an eating disorder per se, but I used to count every single calorie and I was really obsessed with being very, very thin. And I definitely experienced body dysmorphia where I would see footage of myself and think, oh my God, I let myself really get out of control. This is so embarrassing. And I look back on that footage now and I'm like, wait, what was I thinking?
Tiny.
Yeah, because back then the beauty standard was just like you had to be so thin.
What about you, Bridget?
I did not have an eating disorder, but I look back at all of the footage from Girls Next Door and I was really they tried to fat shame me, basically. And they tried to make me I'm the big girl, the heavy girl of the group. And they tried to shame me for eating in every way they could. And I remember noticing it at the time and talking to the producer about it and telling him it really upset me that he did that, because I felt like I had a really healthy relationship with food and exercise and was not heavier than the other girls. But still to this day, people think that I am the fat one from the show.
It's so interesting you say that, because I remember watching the show and I didn't remember that until you're saying it. I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember like the concept of like, if you weren't actually to the point where you looked sickly, then you were like fat, considered mm-hmm. fat. Wait, so producers said that to you to your face?
Well, I told him that I didn't appreciate it and he just said it's funny. And he thinks it's funny. He thinks it's a funny gag that he keeps doing to me.
But you never ended up like succumbing to that pressure and you like never had then issues with eating?
Never had issues Amazing. With eating, but I'm always worried about it. And especially after that now. Now I'm always, and people will come up to me and still be like, oh, you've lost a lot of weight. And I'm just like, what are you talking Dude. About?
Right. Like, first of all, shut the fuck up. Don't comment on people's bodies. How about that? And second of all, shut the fuck up. It's so sad because I think a lot of what I wanted to talk about today is like how maybe we have progressed a little bit in society with like, but then I'm sitting here and I'm like, not really. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like even especially with like the thinness and the body dysmorphia for women, it's just social media has made it worse. Like, mm-hmm. sure, back then Playboy, it was like, if you see this magazine, this is what you should look like. And all the women of like, dye your hair bleach blonde and have thick boobs and blah, blah, blah. And it was all just to look a certain way. But now I'm like, I feel like it's the same thing with like, whether it's like, look like the Kardashians or look like now like the models. It's like, as women, we can never just be like happy with the way that we look. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad and it's unfortunate. I guess I'm curious, since you guys had such a fixation on the way that you looked for so long, like, is it still lingering that when you guys look in the mirror, you still have those like twitches of like making sure you look perfect?
100%.
Yeah.
To the point where on the way over here, I was talking about how cool it was that Pamela Anderson went to Fashion Week in no makeup. And I'm like, I will never be brave enough to do that, but I'm glad somebody is. Like, yeah. Thank God.
Right. No, you're so right.
Yeah.
What about you, Bridget? Like, when you're just like alone with yourself looking in the mirror, like, are you still finding yourself being like almost like regressing to those days of like, look this way, feel this way?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dude. Oh.
It's something I think about every day.
Yeah.
Multiple times a day. I mean, multiple times on the way over here.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so hard to deprogram from. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to say I've evolved past that, yeah. but it would take a lot longer.
I don't even think, I agree with you guys, but I also don't even think, like, of course you guys were in a situation where it was so over the top and, like, to the absolute extreme. But I feel like so many women that are going to listen to this are going to be like, me too. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know one woman that doesn't have some type of insecurity because of the way they look, not because they actually felt it about themselves, but because either society or someone said something to their face and was like, you should look this way, or I don't like that about you. Like, oh, you're fat, or oh, you're this. And then it stays with you. It's like fucking exhausting.
It really yeah. is exhausting. That's the perfect word for it.
And if it's not weight, it's age too. Mm-hmm.
Like, let's talk about that.
Like, yeah. you shouldn't be dressing like that, mm-hmm. or you should, you know, look your age or whatever. And I feel like I am looking my age. I'm looking how I want to look. Like, right. this is how I want to look.
I did something recently where people were like, you're getting too old to party. Like, this is not cute. And I'm like, I want to be fucking 80 in the nursing home, like, ripping yes. shots, like, yeah. going out on a bang.
Like, and you should. Right? Like, who cares? If that's what you want to do, that's what you should yeah. do.
As we get older, and it's something that I've thought about a lot of, is like, I started the show when I was pretty young, and like, it's sad to say this, but I'm realizing like, it is such a privilege to get older. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all so fortunate if we make it to 35, make it to 40, make it to 50. Like, that's a fucking privilege. And to even see like signs of life on your body, of like wrinkles, like, oh my god, you've lived, you've gone through shit. But for women specifically, that's just like, once it's almost like when you hit 30, 35, it's like, well, you're out of your prime. It's over. Like, can you talk to me about how you guys handle that?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a thing at Playboy. I feel like the unspoken cutoff age for like a playmate was 28. Like, there would be a few outliers here yeah. and there, but usually like 28 was kind of like, she's 28, you know? And it's just like, I never want to put a limit on myself like that for anything. And I just feel like, even being a mom too, like, I have to be really careful about what I put out there, because there's always going to be somebody who's going to say, like, I don't want to do anything to embarrass my kids, but I could just put out like a bikini picture that I think is cute and isn't even really sexy. And there's going to be people I know weighing in like, you need to take that down. Like, that's inappropriate. And it's also like, why are really young women the only ones who are allowed to be sexy? Like, that's kind of like,
so true.
A big eye roll.
No, yeah. It's actually, when you say that, it's so interesting to me to be like, if anything, the young women should like refrain a little bit, because you're getting to know yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to like understand yourself before you're actually just like putting it out there to the world. Once we hit a certain age, I'm like, I know how to handle the criticism. I know that like, men aren't shit that are objectifying me. It's like, mm-hmm. we should continue to celebrate at every age. It's not just like our worth stops at a certain age, but it's, I could sit here forever and talk about it. It's yeah. so frustrating, because mm-hmm. you guys, I'm sure it's hard for you too. And I don't know if you can talk about this. Like, obviously we're sitting here talking about these like prime years that people talk to you guys about, but I'm sure you guys probably would beg to differ of like, that those weren't your prime years in terms of how you felt about yourself.
Not at all. Oh, yeah. I feel like life just keeps getting better, and that mm-hmm. I want it to keep getting better. And I yeah. think that's the way it should be for everybody.
Yeah. Wasn't there something about like, people would take Polaroids of you and then they would grade your Polaroid and that would like determine what parties you were allowed to get invited to.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Well, when you would arrive to a party, if you were a female, they would take a Polaroid of you and then Hef would go through all of them after the party and grade them like A, B, C, or D. D, you're not invited back. C, you're maybe on the big party list. B, you're like on all the party lists, like big or small. And then A, you'd get invited to like the pool parties and stuff like that.
Dude. Was there anyone at the time between the women that was like, guys, this is like kind of fucked up or no?
I don't think so, because I feel like we were so ingrained in it that seemed like it sounds crazy talking about it now, but I feel like the graded Polaroids seemed like the least of the issues to me at the time.
Well, I remember I knew about the Polaroids because obviously I've had them taken of me before, but I didn't realize the grading on them until later. And I remember being kind of shocked by that and be like, oh, they're great. Oh, that's how these work.
Bridget's like taking the photo like, how do I look? And then later you're like, oh, fuck, that was for a grading system?
Yeah, totally.
When you just said that, Holly, it made me think, like, okay, if that was, like, the least of your worries, can you guys talk to me about, as a woman, looking back now with, like, hindsight, like, what was the hardest moments that you're like, damn, like, that was so fucked up of how objectified we were being as women for our bodies and our looks, and no one gave a fuck about, like, what we had in the inside?
I mean, there's so many layers to that. I think for me personally, when I think about the worst thing, I just think about like anything in the bedroom and just the fact that like anybody would be invited in there. And like, we didn't get to agree on who got to come in and who got to watch and who got to do whatever. And it was just traumatizing.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize. So he could invite people in to watch you guys.
Well, I mean, I think he wanted everybody to participate but sometimes people wouldn't. And you would get the feeling with some people, they were just
looky-loos.
Yeah, totally. And then some people would go, like, blog about it. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of like revenge porn a little bit. You know what I mean?
Not even a little bit, like, full fucking blown.
Totally.
What about you, Bridget? Like, what comes to mind?
I mean, it definitely has to be the bedroom. Yeah. It can't get any worse than that. But it also was, like, the mean girls era that we like to refer to, because I just feel like we had no voice during that whole time. It was really hard.
Mm-hmm. How did you find your voice when you left the mansion?
I felt like I went through a couple years of like deprogramming kind of. Because when I left there, like obviously I knew it was fucked up enough that I didn't want to stay. But after being there for 7 years and being in like the kind of this cult-like environment where everybody worships this one person, for the longest time, if anybody like press or otherwise would ask me about it, I'd be like, oh, everything's great. He's great. Everybody's great. Because I mean, A, I just didn't want to like get into it publicly. I just wasn't ready for that yet. And I thought that was the nice thing to do. But looking back, I'm like, it really took me a couple years to like deprogram and realize that a lot of shit that happened was like fucked up. Like, obviously, I knew I didn't like it at the time and I knew I had to leave after a certain point. But
also, even you just saying that, like, it makes me think about how there's so many people online that, and not even about you, just like anyone that does something that they regret, even like women that did porn that they're like, I look back now and I wish I didn't do that. People are like, but you did it.
Yeah.
Like, you benefited from it. You're there. Like, you're famous because of that. Like, and mostly it's men saying this, of being like, oh, well, you did it. Like, why are you so upset? Like, it made you who you are today. Can you talk about how you also deal with, like, that juxtaposition of, like, of course, how you felt in that moment? How are you going to speak up about a man that was one of the most, like, highest men in power at the time in the world? Everyone knew this man. Everyone loved this man. Everyone wanted to be this man. And like, who were you, like little Holly Madison, to be like, actually, this is abuse? Like, it just wasn't, you couldn't have done that at the time. So can you talk to me a little bit about that, of like seeing those comments about that situation?
Yeah, when people say that, I mean, I just don't really know what their point is. Like, am I, because I have two choices at this point. I can either lie and say everything was great, I got to be on a TV show because of it, so cool. But I'm really, if I were to do that, I'd be perpetuating a lifestyle that didn't make me happy and a relationship that didn't make me happy and something I would never recommend for anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, who cares if I was on a reality show because of it? Like, anything I've got to do since then, it's because I know how to fucking make lemonade out of lemons. And everybody just wants to act like he handed me every little thing I've done since. And that's just not the case.
True. Bridget, what about you when you left? Like, what was that like, repairing your self-image and who you were independent of the mansion?
I think I'm still working on that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've done that yet. Mm-hmm. I kind of left and still did my beaches show for the Travel Channel and still kind of hosted. And I just sort of put it all behind me. I didn't really like look back into it much at all or anything like that.
I felt like I didn't for a second either, because when you leave the mansion, you realize, fuck, okay, I have had a platform from being on a reality show, so I need to hit the ground running now if I'm going to, like, survive. So you're in survival mode. You're not thinking about going back. Like, it wasn't until a good couple years after I left, I was looking through that Girls Next Door coffee table book we did that had all these candid shots of us because I was trying to find a certain picture. And I looked at myself, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm fake smiling in all these pictures. Like, maybe not everybody else could recognize that.
Right.
But I did, and I was like, wow.
I noticed, Bridget, like, you got a little emotional when you just said
that. Well, I think doing this podcast, not this podcast, but our Holly and I's podcast is helping me, like, look back on some of the things and some of the things that I'd forgotten about. Mm-hmm. And then I also started writing a book, too, and that's kind of opened some things up. And I feel like I'm just now in that area, but I don't think I did it before.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me a little about that? Like, how does it make you feel?
It's a roller coaster ride, because, like, when we first started, it was emotional and it was bad. And I told Holly, when she first asked me if I wanted to do this podcast of recapping the show, I was like, oh yeah, like, I have great memories, like, everything's good, I have nothing bad to say, like, we're gonna be like the you're gonna be like all opposites. Oh
yeah,
yeah. That was an awful time, and I'm gonna be like, it was great, it was amazing. And it that is sort of how it is still. My recollection of everything is or my experience that I had with things was a little bit more positive than what Holly had. Not that there wasn't negative things, but, like, generally more positive. But we started watching the episodes, and I told her, I can't do this.
Yeah, we were ready to quit after, like, episode 2.
I was like, oh my God, I totally put this completely out of my head that they did this to us, to me, in a particular episode. And I don't even know how I can address this. Like, there's nothing I can even say to try and redeem myself out of this.
What was the situation?
It was episode 2. So season 1, episode 2. It was supposedly our episodes. Holly was supposedly episode 1. I was episode 2, and Kendra's episode 3. And episode 2, and it has me trying to get the playmates drunk and talking about how jealous I am that they get to get it and I don't. And I'm sabotaging them and stuff, which was not.
Never happened.
True. But they show it. They cut it like I'm ordering them shots and making all these girls that are just there testing do all these shots to ruin their test the next day. And I'm just like, how am I even supposed to, like, defend myself on this when it looks like that's what I'm doing and that's how I feel?
I'm so sorry. And that's something that's so weird about podcasting, which I'm, like, happy, sad for you guys, because, like you said, you're doing a rewatch podcast, and it almost makes you have therapy sessions every week, right?
Where
you're,
oh, like, it does.
I think so, yeah.
Like, fuck, Holly, like, we went through that, we did that. And again, you guys knowing, which must be kind of cathartic, but also kind of fucked up to be like, wait, pause, that's not how it went down. That's not what happened. Let's talk about sexuality a little bit. When did you guys ever first start masturbating?
Two years ago, I became pregnant with a baby I desperately wanted. During a routine ultrasound, I learned that the fetus would have a fatal condition and never survive. I had to flee my own state to receive treatment. I think Donald Trump bears an incredible amount of responsibility for these restrictive laws. We need leaders that will protect our rights, and that's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Good things come to those who wait. We've all heard that saying somewhere, okay? But sometimes I'm here to say
You got to just go after what you want instead of waiting around for it to happen, because most of the time, I'm not going to lie, then you miss out, okay? Personally, I have had moments where I'm hustling to get something done at work and I know I'm going to feel so much better than waiting around and waiting to see if someone's going to ask me to do it. I'm just going to do it myself. And that is why, Daddy Gang, if you want the best people for your company, the same applies. You have to go after it. You have to go after what you want. And thankfully, ZipRecruiter can help put the hustle in your hiring. And even better, you can try it free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/daddy. ZipRecruiter can find top talent for your role very fast. As soon as you post a job, ZipRecruiter's matching technology will go to work and you are going to find a qualified candidate immediately. So let ZipRecruiter give you the hiring hustle you need. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/daddy to try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/daddy. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Something that really grinds my gears is I somehow will find myself just subscribing to things, right? And then all of a sudden, I see I have been paying this subscription service and I don't even use it because I just forgot to cancel it. Rocket Money can help you cancel a subscription that would otherwise be more time consuming and also you probably forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I can see all of my subscriptions in one place. And if I see anything I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/daddy. That's rocketmoney.com/daddy. rocketmoney.com/daddy.
This episode is brought to you by Azo Vaginal Health Products. Most women will experience a yeast infection during their lifetime, but it is time to stop giving women's health the silent treatment. I think sometimes we get so anxious, we don't want to deal with it. Well, actually, yeast infections, you're like, I actually have to deal with this. I literally am so fucking itchy right now. That is what Azo products are for. They have an entire line of products designed to help balance your vaginal pH and protect your vaginal health. Azo Complete Feminine Balance helps restore the balance of good bacteria and for protection from yeast and urinary tract issues. Try Azo Dual Protection. Azo, care that goes there. Daddy Gang, you can save 20% with the promo code PODCAST at azoproducts.com. That's azoproducts.com.
When did you guys ever first start masturbating? Or even if you do or don't, I don't know.
Oh, like when I was young, like I always functioned, mm-hmm. I feel, in a healthy way, mm-hmm. sexually, like from yeah. high school onward.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was like I wasn't emotionally ready to deal with a relationship or the possibility of feeling attached to somebody through sex.
It's such a weird time when you're younger because you're like, that didn't feel good when I had sex with him. And then you're like, if you start masturbating, you're like, oh, I think this is nice. But also like, oh my God, don't let anyone know or else I'm going to fucking hell. And then it's like when you start having sex at that age, like it's really not about finding pleasure for yourself. Like it is still about the man. It's like, mm-hmm. did he get off? And there's like just so many weird things that come with that, that it's just like it fucks with your head.
Can I say one more thing about the masturbation before
please,
you
move? Please come back. Come back.
I will say that is one positive thing for me that came out of the mansion and the upstairs bedroom thing is that that became very normalized.
Oh,
with the Mr. Hitachi.
Yeah, just like people would just like usually like roll over with their vibrator.
We stop.
Yes,
there was a bunch of vibrators, so you're like, oh yes,
sorry, let me explain the scene really quick.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, Bridget, what's the Mr. Hitachi? What the fuck?
Okay, there's a vibrator called Mr. Hitachi.
Okay, and is it called Mr. Hitachi?
I thought it was Hitachi. Or just Hitachi. Oh, maybe I called call him Mr. Hitachi.
This was the man in my life for 7 years while I was at the mansion, okay? Totally. This is what got me off.
But I'm just like, so we have those at the mansion.
Dying.
And I'm just going to say that was like amazing, and that opened my eyes to what could happen. Yeah. And I still have Mr. Hitachi today.
I think we like asked for them for stocking stuffers one year.
We did, because they're incredible. If you don't have one, get on Amazon right now.
Wait, what kind of,
but
what
you
does
have
it look
to
like?
Order
it from the Hitachi site, because Amazon sells knockoffs that break.
Wait, oh no.
What does it
Buyer
look like?
Beware. It's a giant thing. It's like a jackhammer, and it's white.
Oh, that big
with the brown big thing on the end.
Yeah, it almost looks like a microphone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, and it's for backs and stuff too, supposedly. Allegedly. You know, that's what they say, but everybody knows what that's for.
I actually was gifted one, and I remember trying to use it. It's like, that is like an arm workout. It's like kind of really heavy.
Yeah. You'll get used to it.
Oh, okay. Bridget's like, do you see these guns, bitch? Okay.
Show you something.
Okay, so you're saying, oh my God, I can't. You're saying, which actually I can understand, I guess, like at that age, you're clearly not getting off because of him in the room laying in the bed. He's like fucking about
and
to croak.
And we're not allowed to date.
Right. So you're like, my best friend is my vibrator.
And there was a long period where there was no bedroom anymore either. So there was like 3 years or 4 years or something like that where there was just, we're not allowed to date and there is no bedroom. So it's like,
Mr. Hitachi.
Yes.
Oh my God, I love that. I'm like, that's going to go on sale.
We need
it's
a graphic of like a stocking, like a Christmas
Amazon
stocking.
Code.
The,
nope, literally, Bridget. Get that coin, bitch. Let's go. That's so funny. And so you literally would just be like, okay, fuck this. Like, I'm going to roll over and like, and then you ended up really leaning into being able to like, okay, I can masturbate and get myself off. This doesn't have to be full hell.
Yeah. And it didn't make me feel so embarrassed about it either. Like, I felt very, it made me feel like this is a natural thing that we should be doing.
Yeah. Without getting like too graphic, because like when whatever you guys are comfortable with, I have a lot of women write in of just like being in situations that you're not comfortable, but not knowing how to speak up for yourself and basically being kind of pressured into doing something that you almost can't even comprehend until you have time away from it. Bridget and Holly, talk to me about just like those moments that like as a woman, you didn't know you were expected to have sex with this man or do all of this. Like mentally as young women, where were you at in just this experience with this situation sexually?
I feel like I was just so in over my head and so drunk that first night. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not like I didn't know that sex was going to go on upstairs, but I thought, well, this is my first time out with them. Who has sex on the first date? Mm-hmm. I'll just go up and like see what's going on. Yeah. But I was super wasted and, you know, shit just happened.
Yeah.
For me, I full on knew that was going to be expected. But I too thought, well, the first night though, like surely I can just be like, oh, it's the first night and like get out of this. And I didn't even want to go upstairs the first night, but then I was pressured by another girl who said, if you ever want to be invited out again, you better get your ass upstairs.
Wow.
Yeah, there was another girl who we call the recruiter, and there were different people who like functioned as the recruiter over the years. And it's just interesting how these men who victimize other women often have like a woman, like a Ghislaine Maxwell type, that will go out and get the other girls and make them feel comfortable or pressure them. Harvey Weinstein had people like that too.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
It's like they make you feel like you actually have no choice, and it's like woman to woman, like let's go, let's do this, and you're kind of like I guess it's almost like the biggest bully that like leads the charge, that if you say no, you're completely done, and it's like you don't have a minute to think for yourself. When you say you knew you had to do these things, did like girls say that to you?
Well, I had been hanging out long enough that I knew what was going on up there. And I'd heard all kinds of rumors of what happened in the limo. And when Hef asked me the first time to come out, I said, oh, I've heard what happened. and I don't want to do that. And he was like, oh, and he just like laughed it off and was not offended by that.
Yeah.
So I knew that was going to be expected of me. And I put a lot of thought into that because it wasn't something that, like, I wasn't promiscuous. I didn't have, like, a lot of people that I had been with. That wasn't something I was, like, excited to be doing.
Can you talk to me, Bridget, about, like, after that first night, what were you going through?
Torture in my own head that very next morning. Like, I felt ashamed. I felt disgusting. I felt like I really let myself down. I felt really lonely. And I'm in a house where there's like a lot of people, yeah. but I'm like, oh no, I feel so lonely and feel so gross. And I have to get out of here. Like, I have to get out of here right now.
And then what happened?
Then I went, I still had an apartment. Like, I wasn't living at the mansion okay. yet. And I went back to my apartment. And then that night, that afternoon, the mansion, like the social secretaries called and said, Hef wants you to meet tomorrow and go, or tonight and go to the Craig Kilborn show with him and all his girlfriends. He's going to be on it and wants you to do that. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like kind of exciting again. Wait, they want me to go to the Craig Kilborn show? Like, what? And so then I go on the Craig. And then not only am I going to like sit in the audience with Hef and everybody, but they have all of us girls shooting a skit backstage. And the thing we have to do is go, hi, I'm Hef's girlfriend. And the next person says, hi, I'm Hef's girlfriend. Hi, I'm right. Hef's girlfriend. That was the skit, like not a big deal or anything. But like all of a sudden you feel like you're a part of this, mm-hmm. this thing, you know?
That's so interesting too, to be like leaving in a moment for women. And I think that's the most annoying when people are like, well, then why did you go back? Why did you go back? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's such a common thing, whether it was an abusive situation where it's like, why didn't you leave? Why didn't you go back? That's so common, not just even to this situation, which I appreciate you guys talking about this because it's a larger conversation for women of like, why didn't you leave? Why did you go back? Talk to me about that, of how like explaining to people that are fucking idiots that don't get it. It's like, it's not that simple. Like, clearly you had this like, oh my God, there's this feeling of this man is so much, there's power and there's things that come with this. But the sexual aspect of it, like, did you ever become okay with it? Did you just disassociate?
Well, now it's the point where I've done it now. Mm-hmm. So, like, now if I leave and I just throw this all away now, like, I did it all for nothing.
And you like, feel like no everybody way. Knows, right? Because yeah. that's kind of your social circle, too. Like, yeah. I felt like my two roommates had, like, moved away. And right before I moved in, like, this was the mansion community. It was a place I, like, went every Sunday for the pool parties. And right. I felt like, oh, shit, I just went upstairs and had sex. Like, they're all going to talk. Like, they're all going to know. So I might as well get what I came here for, right. you know?
Can you guys talk to me a little bit about that of like, because it is sadly so relatable, Bridget, of like what you guys are saying of like, I already did it. Like, it's even, I think when women are in a situation that's like, well, now he's hit me twice, but like, he's not going to do it again. And then when it happens again, you're like, but that's the last time. Like, you rationalize in your mind because you're kind of trying to survive through this shit. Once you just kind of threw yourself into that world, did you guys ever have moments by yourself in those rooms to be like, what is happening? Who am I? Like, am I losing myself?
We would definitely vent to each other about certain things, yeah. but a lot of it I feel like was deflected for a couple years because there were 7 girlfriends. A lot of them we didn't get along with. There was a lot of bullying and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't recognize it at the time, but looking back, I yeah. feel like he kind of like encouraged that mm-hmm. and kind of, it's like you keep people, it's like divide and conquer. Yeah. Like you keep like two sides divided. Then we can't all meet up and be like, you know what? We should see if he'll like give us extra money for this or else we're not going into right. the bedroom. Like he doesn't want that happening.
I'm curious to know because obviously like you guys experienced one of the biggest. Like what do you guys think drives controlling men?
Insecurity. Mm-hmm. Like you would look at someone like him and think he has no reason to be insecure. He's so successful. He has so many women around him. He throws the best parties. But that man was so insecure. It was insane.
I think he was really afraid of dying alone.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm going to have 10 girlfriends at all times. So I'm not alone. Wow.
Or being and not even just dying alone, but just being alone at yeah. all. Like if somebody he didn't even want to let us go home for the holidays. So, and at some points right. he had like over 7 girlfriends.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're like, bro, also like we barely talk. Like, let's yeah. keep it like, come on. Like when, after you guys got out of there, like, did you find yourselves, like talk to me about your dating patterns. Like after that, did you have like an aversion to like men in positions of power? Were you still attracted to men? Like what was your type essentially?
Well, for me, I went straight into another relationship that mirrored the Playboy relationship in some ways. and got out of that very quickly. And that was kind of like a gift in a way, that it showed me that this is a pattern. This isn't just anomaly behavior because this man was in a position. This is something that any man can do if he wants to. So luckily I was shown that very quickly realized what I didn't want. And then I just dated kind of casually for a couple of years. And then I met the man that I married and had kids with, and I'm divorced now, but I'm in another relationship that I've been in for 4 years. So
amazing. Can you talk, because I'm sure a lot of girls are listening being like, wait, Holly, like, what can we look out for? Like, not even just talking about Hef, like, what are some things even in that next relationship that, like, when you look at someone that is controlling like that, like, what are things that maybe in the moment you're like, is that a red flag, but you can kind of sweep under the rug? Like, what's something that you now are like, don't let this happen, don't let this happen, and don't let this happen?
I think the first sign is definitely moving too fast, or, you know, what people call love bombing. Like, I remember after I went out with Hef and the girls the first time, he called me to invite me out the next time, and he said, I love you. And I remember thinking, ha ha ha, that's funny, but that's how he operates. Right. Like, he wants people to feel, like, emotionally comfortable, and like, oh, this is romantic, and you're special, and you're so mature for your age, and all that BS. Or, like, if somebody wants you to move in with them right away, or, you know, starting to, like, insert little controlling behaviors, they might give excuses for it, or they might try and act like it's in your best interest, or don't go do that show, I'll set you up with a better show. I mean,
stop.
Yeah.
Or make you feel bad for wanting to go see your family or whatever and wanting you to spend it with them. But they make it seem like it's romantic. Like, well, I want to spend it with you. Oh, I want you here with me and stuff. But it's really, they don't want you to go see your family.
That's so interesting, too, which I know it's probably so hard, again, when you're in it, but you're so right. It's like, if you write it down on a piece of paper, like, what are they telling you? That they want to spend the holiday with you, but what is actually, like, physically happening? I'm not allowed to see my family because of this. Like, and you're so right, Holly. It's like the way that they twist it, I feel like I've heard so much of, like, when men are controlling of, like, what you wear, and it's more like, I want you to respect yourself. Like, I'm looking out for you. And it's like, the fuck? Like, you're actually telling me what I can and cannot wear, but they pose it as like, I just want, like, people to respect you, and, like, I want you to, like, not look like a whore. And you're literally like, huh? Like, they twist it so it's like, you're right, like, they're looking out for you, but really it's they're looking out for you to put you more in their thumb and just shove you down, so that it's like every move you almost question and keep looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget, did you end up going and dating someone similar, or did you?
No, I met somebody right out of the gate, out of the mansion. I mean, I met him at the mansion, actually.
Yeah.
And we've been together for 15 years, ever since.
Girl! Oh, my God. Wait, how did you know?
I don't know. I guess I don't really believe in love at first sight or anything like that, but I definitely thought he was so hot at first sight.
Check. And love that.
It had to be a little bit of a slow burn because I wasn't allowed to date, but yet I thought he was really hot, and he was a director. So I was producing a horror movie and I was looking for directors. And so it started with, like, just some text, like, actual emails, like, business wise and working together like that. And then as soon as I knew my foot was, like, it wasn't even fully out of the door, but it was, like, reaching over the threshold, right, we were, like, dating.
Oh, my God. Your relationship to men, I feel like it's really difficult as women when you're wronged by so many men and, like, treated the way that you were and spoken to the way that you were. Like, is there, like, how do you feel about men in general and, like, the world? And, like, obviously it's not all men, but, like, it's fucking hard to, like, go through what you guys went through and be like, men are amazing. Like, once you left the mansion and you actually started to have hindsight of, like, what the fuck happened there? Like, how do you feel about men?
I mean, I feel like I'm lucky I've had experience with good men as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, you know, I'm 44 now and I kind of, like, don't give as much of a fuck about, like, what other people think. So I'm able to speak up for myself more. And if somebody's doing something that I think is based in sexism, I'll just, like, say it and, like, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I fucking love that. Yeah. What about you, Bridget?
I go through phases. It depends on my mood, I think. Like, I know I'm with a really good guy and but there's some things that happen sometimes, and I can't even think of a specific example at the moment, but, like, something will happen and I'll be like, I fucking hate men. Like, like, Jesus. And then my boyfriend will be, or my husband will be like, oh, you know what? they're not all bad. Right. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're right.
Right. He's like, babe.
Yeah.
Like, love you. And you're like, oh, yeah. Wait, yeah. I think it's important to just acknowledge and talk about, because I think the hatred can be real, mm-hmm. and it's justifiable. And it makes me upset where, like, I know for so long, even with like the feminist movement, people were like, oh God, like you're just a man hater. It's not that. It's like when you've been so wronged by men who historically white hetero men in positions of power, like it's just abuse all fucking day. And of course, we're not saying that there aren't good ones, but when you've been at the hands of someone that is so fucking disturbed in how they abuse their power, it must be hard to like trust people of like,
oh, for sure. I definitely have like trust issues. Yeah. Like it takes a minute.
Talk to me about that.
I mean, it just takes me like a really long time. Like in my last couple of relationships, I moved pretty slow just because mm-hmm. I really wanted to get to know people. Mm-hmm. And I would even talk with my friends who've also been in toxic relationships. And we came up with a thing like, how long does it take for a guy to show his toxicity? Because they always act real cool in the beginning. We decided like it's usually like 3 to 6 months.
Uh-huh.
So I'm real careful the first 6 months.
They're like, should I sleep over? You're like, at the 6 month mark, yeah. Maybe. But until then, keep your fucking distance.
Yeah.
That's so true. It kind of is that 3 to 6.
It really is. And it's crazy looking back to think that like you could even get into a relationship where you're like straight up living with somebody and feeling dependent on them within 3 months, but it happens all the time.
And again, like we're still programmed. We're still like all of us are born with internalized misogyny. Like we're born into this mm-hmm. world and it's like men rule women. Like it's still that way. Like we're having to unlearn it. So I think there's those natural things when a man makes you feel taken care of. And when a man does certain things for you, you can't help but be like, oh, and it's like, I do think we're getting better now where it's like, no, ladies, no. Like, if anything, if you're feeling too good at the first, like, couple dates, just pause. Because if it's actually that good and he's actually that amazing, he can wait and it will happen. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes that pressure feeling, it's hard to describe because you're like, is it excitement or do I feel like pressure to, like, do these things with him? And it's hard to discern, like, what is it healthy? Is it toxic? Like, what's the situation? But yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Bridget, of just like, some days I fucking.
I mean, little things will set me off, like somebody's tone, the way they talk to me and stuff, or a guy will tell me to smile, which sends me.
Like, give me a pretty smile. And you're like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, literally just shut up.
Like, things like that happening. I'm just like, ugh, I hate men.
Can you give advice to girls that maybe are sitting there being like, am I in one of those situations right now? Like, how do you get out? How do you actually leave something like that that's so all-consuming and suffocating?
I think first, like, making a plan for yourself on what you're going to do. Because oftentimes when people are stuck in these relationships, there's a financial element. And a lot of, when people want to criticize and be like, well, why didn't you leave? Nobody says that to somebody when it's a job. Like, if somebody has a sucky boss or a toxic work environment, they might complain about it for days. But you understand why they're there because they need the paycheck. But if you're in a relationship or a living situation where there's some kind of financial component, people are like, well, why didn't you just fucking leave? You know,
such a good point.
Yeah, it's stupid.
And I do think that's a good point that you said of like a lot of the times also the reason that it's hard to get out of something is because you don't tell anyone. Yeah. So like you can't confide in people. The person that you talk to the most is the person that's basically abusing you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, where do I go now?
And they oftentimes want to isolate you.
Yeah.
I think the best thing is coming up with a plan. Like, what are you going to do for work? Where are you going to go? Who's mm-hmm. your support system? Yeah.
Saving money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you guys think is like the biggest misconception about you as like former playmates? Like, what do you think is that something that like maybe frustrates you?
That we're one dimensional, I think.
Unintelligent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bimbos. I said that at the start of the show and I'm still saying that 20 years later. People think we're bimbos. If you're blonde and have mm-hmm. big boobs mm-hmm. and we're in Playboy, you're clearly not very smart.
What do you say to those people?
I feel like I'm just tired of defending it. I feel like I've proved myself. Yeah. I have a master's degree. Like, we have a successful podcast. We've had successful careers. I mean, what more do you want?
Yeah. Yeah.
People are always going to say that. Mm-hmm. The fact that I like pink, the fact that I like Barbies, the fact that I love Halloween, all of that is like belittled. And like, you can't be intelligent and like those things too.
Yeah. It's so true. It's like, if you are just like a beautiful woman that people like to look at, sometimes you're just reduced to your looks. And it's like, there's no way that she's smart. There's no way that they have brains. Like, there's no way. And it's like, you got to where you are today for a reason. And you guys have such a successful business that you, like you said, Holly, like you've created something of yourself and it has nothing to do with him. Like, he's fucking dead and you're like, you're still cranking and you've got your businesses and you're going. And like, that was so long ago. I do understand why people are fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys do at this point too, just because it's such like a world people can't fathom. But I do think there's a lot of themes today that we've been talking about that's like, it is kind of relatable. It is women feeling like, well, maybe if I just do it and get my foot in the door, then maybe I'll get taken seriously. And okay, maybe that made me feel uncomfortable, but like next time I'm gonna do it a little bit differently. And then you get in the situation and you forget how powerful these people are. And it just makes you feel like, okay, but next time, like even you said, Bridget, you're like, I went home, I felt like shit, I felt disgusting, but then I got the call. And it's yeah. like, it's hard to explain when you're in it. What would you tell your younger self now, where you're at, just through life? Like, we know as women, we go through a lot. You guys have been through relationships and experiences, like young Holly, young Bridget, like now where you're at in your life. What would you guys tell yourselves at that young age?
Don't be so hard on yourself. I mean, it's easy for me to say now because I know like everything turned out fine, but I would go back and be like, don't be so miserable. Don't be so hard on yourself. It's not the end of the world, you know?
Love it.
Yeah, things do work out. Like, because there were times where I didn't think it was going to.
Yeah.
There was times where I was like, I have to have a plan B now. I don't think I'm going to be here tomorrow kind yeah. of thing.
It's, we're all our own worst enemies. But I can't thank you guys enough for coming because I feel like there's so many themes that now, and I'm sure you guys are talking about on your show, that like, it's relatable what you guys have been through, and it's taking a different form in every generation, but like, it's still happening.
Yeah, I think so too.
Right?
It's definitely still happening.
Like, I don't know if you guys thought for a while, did you guys feel like you were just like in this own bubble of like, no one can relate? And now do you guys kind of feel like you're like seeing like, fuck, this is like kind of what a lot of women go through?
Absolutely. I remember when we were at the mansion, I didn't feel like I was necessarily setting a bad example by being there, being on TV, because I'm like, well, this couldn't happen anywhere else. Yeah. Like, I know this situation sucks for me in a lot of ways, but it doesn't happen anywhere else. But it does happen a lot of other places. Like, there were even other places in LA, they would call them like mini mansions, yeah. where like there would be guys that kind of like behaved in the same way Hef did and had women there and stuff. And we heard a lot of crazy bad stories about those places too. Yeah. And every time we watch an episode for our podcast, I think of some kind of issue that's relatable to people.
Yeah. Even you saying that, I'm like, promoters. Yeah. I remember in college, like, I didn't want to hook up with this one guy, but like, he was getting all of my friends and I into this place, and I'm just like in his car and I'm like, okay. And like, he's like kind of pressuring me and I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know what to say. And it's like, it's difficult, but it's like, you see it everywhere. It's like, yeah. when you don't have independence and financial stability, like, it is such a fucking privilege to be financially stable, because when you're not, it is fucking hard to look at someone and turn something down that is, although again, you get that weird gut feeling of like, I don't want to do this, the reward of like what you could get to, because mm-hmm. we're not thinking about the moment. We're like, well, will I meet the people in the room? Could I get the job from this? Like, mm-hmm. it's like you said, it's the Harvey Weinstein shit. It's yeah. like, oh, he's threatening my whole fucking career, so I guess I have to sleep with this man or Hollywood is never going to give me another job. Like, it's never the in the moment that you're actually having to think about. It's you're thinking past it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is lost on people, is like, we as women aren't just making these decisions of like, okay, this seems cool in the moment. No, it's like, yeah. there's a plan that you have to think of like surviving in your head. And I don't appreciate that people can't be that, like, they just are so dense that they're like, well, you just wanted to have sex with an old man. It's like, yeah. it's so much more complex yeah. than that. Like, but there are guys that would say that, yeah, in comments 100%. Of like, yeah. oh, like, you're complaining now. And it's like, that's just not the case. So I appreciate you guys coming on. You both
thanks
are like,
oh, yeah,
you're so inspirational. And I'm just like excited to continue to see what you guys do, because although you're like what you popped off originally on, it's so cool to see you guys continue to build your brands and like talk about things that are really important. And everyone, please go listen to the podcast, because it is so fucking good.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you.
The This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month. So I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today. This episode is brought to you by Monday Hair Care. Daddy Gang, nobody likes Mondays. Am I right? We're all sobbing and we're barely getting out of bed on a Monday. But Monday Hair Care is here to flip the script with its award-winning formulas. No more bad hair days, Daddy Gang. Monday Hair Care is turning Mondays into a reason to celebrate good hair, which I love, thank God, with 7 new products like a leave-in conditioner, dry shampoo, a curl line, and body wash. And Daddy Gang, every single thing is under $10. Yes. And the smell is to die for. Okay. I want my hair smelling like something that Matt wants to be engulfed in. I want him to come out to me and go, oh my God, you smell amazing. Oh my God, what is that in your hair? So Daddy Gang, reclaim the week with Monday at all leading retailers. Visit mondayhaircare.com to find a stockist near you.